And good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan, and thank you for joining me for our fifth edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand from about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants and refugees. Together, we will visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today's guest is Muhammad Muhammad. His family left Somalia and came to Portland when he was a small child, and by the time he was in fifth grade, his parents had become U.S. citizens, thus making the whole family U.S. citizens at the same time. Today, he is a senior here at USM. He is about to complete a double major in international studies and political science. Welcome, Muhammad, and thank you for being my guest on New Mainers Speak.
No, thank you, Kate, and it's incredible that you have a program like this. Maine has had an increasing immigrant population, and of course there have been culture clash, and it's great to lift the veil and educate or let people know that there's a community here, and we love to be in Maine, and we're happy to be here.
Thank you. It's a beautiful introduction. And it kind of leads into my first question for the day, which is, what do you wish every Mainer understood about immigration?
That's a great question. I would hope that every Mainer would try to understand some of the hardships of immigrants and just the resiliency of a lot of the parents. I really admire my parents for leaving Somalia in the time of war. And at the age of 20, having three kids and coming to a new place, learning English and trying to provide everything they could for us. And that effort from them has always inspired us to do more.
They were 20 when they left with three kids.
Yeah.
That is courageous, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even just making an international flight with three kids is courageous. Much less fleeing a war.
Yeah.
Not knowing what lies ahead.
So it's just, it's hard to really know the past of a lot of the immigrants and a lot of the hardships that we face. But, you know, we are more sensitive to Maine and what Mainers would like to know about us and their culture. And, a lot of us learn, American culture very quickly. We become Americans, and we're proud to be here and in a very safe and peaceful country and take advantage of, all the great opportunities here.
Absolutely. When we met earlier, before the show, you were talking about when the day your parents became U.S. citizens and what that was like for you as a 10-year-old. Could you say some more about that?
It was a relief, having no status for such a long time. Obviously we were permanent residents, but having no status, it's a relief when you can finally call someplace your home, because before that time you've always felt like you're in a constant flux. You didn't know what the next day was going to be, and
The song you chose to open our show today relates to that too, doesn't it? Could you say a couple words about
Yeah,
Waving
that? Flag, Canaan. When that song came out, I was a freshman or in college, and it was so inspiring and hopeful. And that's the same time when I decided to study international studies, and when I first learned about the causes of war and conflict and some of the atrocities that occur in Africa. And so, also learning about political science, learning the best practices of good governance and democracy, is just, I'd like to apply that someday. And Waving Flag is a very inspirational song.
What part of it do you carry with you that you think that's why I love that song?
When I get older, they'll call me freedom. Just like a waving flag. So it's really beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. So I understand that when you came to Maine, your family lived in Biddeford. Did you go directly to Biddeford?
First, we came to Portland. My father's best friend lived here, and so we decided to come, and we found a community here, and it was great. But my parents wanted us to live in Biddeford. I think because they loved the neighborhood that they found for us. And growing up in Biddeford, it's quite the experience. I'm aware that I'm from Somalia, but in Biddeford, it's not really that diverse. So I was seen as African American. Oftentimes, I had to point on a map, I'm from Somalia. But I have a funny story actually. In fourth grade, a really good friend of mine, when we were learning about slavery and American Civil War, he looked at me. He said, "Muhammad, I'm so sorry." And I said to him, "You no need to be sorry. Although it was terrible, you know, I'm from Somalia, so I have no slavery in my ancestry. So ever since I was a child, I always was almost an ambassador for, you know, Somalia and, you know, letting people know what's going on there. And also, you know, as I got older, getting over some of the generalizations after Black Hawk Down as well, you know. So Somalia has been in the pop culture or, you know, mass media for negative reasons for a while now, and I'm hoping to change that one day.
What would you like to see happen?
In Somalia, for example, there's a lot of great developments going on right now. The first democratically elected government in 20 years in Mogadishu. There's been semi-autonomous regions in the northwest and northeast, and I hope they all unite one day. And that's a hope I have.
I hope so as well. Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of like Cat Stevens, you know, the person formerly known as Cat Stevens, when you refer to Somalia, it's the country formerly known as Somalia, but
yeah,
hopefully in the future again known as Somalia.
One day, one day.
Can you tell us a little bit about your focus here at USM? You have a double major?
Yeah, international studies and political science, and there's two people I really have to thank for that, for following that degree path, and that's Lynn Kuzma, who's the dean of the College of Arts and Humanities and Social Sciences, and Julia Edwards, a political science lecturer, replaced the dean when she was promoted. And I just have loved every course that I've ever had with both of them, and I've learned so much. I've focused a lot on conflict resolution and nation building and transitional justice, because they're really hard issues to swallow, and what's going on around the world as well. So,
well, you've got that ambassador thing bubbling up again, I think. You know, you had it as a child. It sounds like you're studying to really be an ambassador in a larger way. What would your long-term hopes and dreams be?
Long-term hopes, I would like to make an impact, and I would like to apply, you know, all my effort and my intelligence and just anything I can do to change the lives of a lot of people who don't have the opportunity to have a voice to tell, you know, their stories or just to alleviate some of their suffering. You know, there's the refugee crisis right now around the world with Syria, and there's some areas where you won't even hear of Dadaab, for example, a town in Kenya, which is on the other side of Somalia, is almost as large the population of Maine, but they're restricted to this one refugee camp, and people live their whole lives there and die there, and children never get to have education, and you know, there's a lot of problems around in the world, and I'd like to have some impact on those to alleviate. So
I believe you will.
Thank you, Kate.
I think you have a nice running start at it.
Thank you, Kate.
You have so much to bring the world. You are listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you are just joining us, welcome. Today I'm having a conversation with Mohammed Mohammed, a senior at USM whose family came to Maine from Somalia when he was young. And now he's a senior at USM and doing his internship at ILAP, the Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project. So, Mohammed, let's talk about ILAP. We could probably talk about ILAP all day, but tell me about your internship.
Oh, ILAP. My first day there was on their intake days. That's a Friday. And it was just overwhelming to see the amount of people that come in, all immigrants that need some legal assistance from ILAP and other services that ILAP offers. And, you know, ILAP is an incredible resource for the growing population of immigrants here in Maine. The entire community is very happy that ILAP has been there to help them navigate the legal system, to become citizens, to help them, you know, petition for their families left in refugee camps. I love my time there. I know that every day there's I can measure the impact that I have on, you know, my community here that I really care about. And I feel I share the same, you know, history and as them, and
yeah. And you are, did your family use the services of ILAP when they came?
No, we came a little bit before ILAP, began back with Sue Roche and Beth Stickney.
So since they've started, shortly after your family came, they've served 3,041 individuals.
That's just this year alone.
Oh, that's just this year?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I see here that 2,344 have received legal assistance at no fee, full representation, including 268 cases benefiting 450 clients with complicated immigration issues.
Yeah.
That's an impressive amount of resources that are going out to a population that can't afford to pay them.
Yeah.
So do you know much about the funding body for ILAP?
It's, I think, a U.S. grant, as well as incredible people around in the community that have donated to ILAP. And those people, I feel I share a common goal and a kinship with, because they care just as much about, you know, this community, and just wonderful, beautiful people, including the entire staff that have dedicated their lives to helping immigrants here in Portland, Maine. My other job there is I work forms, and a lot of the clients, you know, they're filing for asylum, and when you file for asylum, it can take several years, especially when they have fled from persecution and they're here. It could take several years to gain status, and you know, while they're here, they can't work unless they file for a work permit. Luckily, the ILAP offers those services, and that's where I've spent my time this last year and a half with them.
I see that ILAP, which you can learn lots and lots about at www.ilapmaine.org, has an estimated, they believe that Maine today has an estimated 55,000 immigrants and refugees in the state.
Yeah. And the thing that's kind of sad about Maine, that a lot of people leave, especially right after college or right after high school. And
Native Mainers.
And the immigrant population has continued to grow, has continued to make businesses, small businesses, and be just as part of the workforce and the school systems and education, and part of the community, and we're just as invested as, you know, everyone else here, so we care about Maine.
Yes, you do. And in fact, here at USM, it's the one population that continues to grow, the students.
Yeah, the student body here, USM has been so diverse, and I guess maybe just because it's right here in Portland, but it's really diverse, and the immigrant community here has definitely utilized the benefits of public education, and I spend my time trying to get more immigrants to study international studies, because I think it's an amazing field, and especially when we already have that past to utilize as a resource for, you know, and for the academia for international studies. So
I think that's a great realization that you have, and you really do know two worlds.
Yeah.
You know, speak two languages at least,
mm-hmm.
right? And then really understand the cultures of both worlds.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive to both American culture and my own. And also through international studies, I've learned many other cultures. Just last summer, I spent time in Geneva at the Human Rights Council with the UN, and I was spending time with all the African diplomats, and we were just, you know, talking about human rights and talking about Africa and the home countries and cultures, and it was great. It was a great experience.
Were they like you, some of them, refugees and resettled elsewhere?
No, they were fortunate to have an education either in the country, or they went off and received an education in Europe, they have returned home to work as diplomats and ambassadors for the country, and just to help the development of human rights. And it was something it was really nice to see.
Yeah. That's thrilling to think that so many people continue to move in the direction of solving problems.
Yeah.
I'd say no matter what you apply yourself to, if you're working to solve a problem, it's going to be excellent for everybody when you get there.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
So if you are interested in meeting some of these fabulous people at iLab, there's a big opportunity coming up to do so. And that is the annual, and 10th annual, in fact, Cele Soiree. It is a live auction, an art sale. They have raffles, cash bar, free parking, and it's at the Abramson Center on April 4th.
Have you been, Kate?
I went last year.
I went last year as well.
Did you see the Burundi drummers?
Yes. Well, that was incredible to see.
That was world-class performance.
Yeah, it was. It was. And just to do that on a smaller stage, just the acrobatics. I thought I was, you know, seeing Cirque du Soleil, but it was Burundi style.
It was. Yeah. They are so athletic.
Yeah.
Yes, and this year the performers are going to be Olas, which is a flamenco dance and music troupe, which I went ahead and looked at on YouTube and couldn't actually leave the long performance because it was so engaging.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a fabulous performance. And Voix d'Ange, Pan-African choral group. Have you had any experience with them?
No, I haven't, but there was a choral group that performed last year. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah, they were great.
And they're also having a keynote speaker, a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, main author, Elizabeth Strout. She wrote Olive Kittredge and The Burgess Boys. And so if you are interested in going to this event, I can highly recommend it. The food is actually delicious, too. It's a beautiful venue at the Abramson Center, Hannaford Hall, on USM's campus, actually right next door to WMPG. And if you're interested in getting tickets, it's not hard. You can get them at iLAP's site, www.ilapmaine.org.
Yeah.
Right. I'd highly recommend going there and learning a little bit more about what's going on, because if you go, you will meet people from all over the world.
You really will. And you'll meet people right here in Maine. I met some incredible people who just volunteered their services or just did great community work right here in Portland, Maine. And it's just a great celebration of culture, and it's just wonderful to be at.
I'd like to talk a little bit about who would use ILAP. They are not for work-study visas. They do not do visit visas, that kind of thing. But they do work around refugee issues, including permanent residency, family reunification, and working with travel documents, and family-based immigration matters, asylum work, domestic violence, trafficking, or crime victim issues, citizenship issues, including applying for or proving citizenship, removal defense, temporary protection status, work permits, and other matters where immigrant status is an issue, such as access to driver's license or public benefits. And if you were in need of these services, can you tell people about where to go and what to do and when to get there?
Yeah, we have intakes on Fridays, and we're open, and you'll meet with the secretary there, and you'll fill out a pink form, just writing your name and some of your documentation and what the reason you're there for. And, the incredible volunteers will be there to meet with you and just to flush out some of the things that you might need. And then bring it to one of the attorneys. And the attorneys, they're so incredible. Just to have, more than probably 10 clients for each person to work with. I think actually they can have up to like 30 clients per attorney. Obviously, immigration, it takes a lot to hear back from, so they do a pretty good job of managing all the clients, but they're so capable for the amount of lawyers that are there to help this growing immigrant population. So, come in on Fridays. We'll get you in and figure out what you need and help you out.
You can be among the 3,000 so far served this year.
Yeah.
And they are at 309 Cumberland Avenue, Suite 201. It's a very modest office space. You can see that if you make a donation to ILAP, they will not be squandering your resources. They are applied directly to the care of many people who are in need of legal services.
Yes.
And one thing I'd like to add is, if you didn't know, most of the people you will meet in Maine are documented immigrants.
Yeah.
There are some places in the country where people can walk across borders and they have a situation that's quite different than ours.
Yeah.
But here in Maine, most of the people you'll meet have gotten help through ILAP, the most remarkable organization, and are documented.
Well, did you see that Portland Press Herald piece? I think it was just yesterday for the citizenship that happened at Kennebunk Middle School. It was almost 33, representing 33 different countries, 6 continents. That gained citizenship yesterday is just incredible. The diversity that's growing right here in Maine.
Absolutely. And because these people are documented, they are able to work, and they're paying taxes, and they're paying into Social Security, and they're becoming an important and inextricable part of our system here in Maine. And
yeah.
We're making something beautiful together, and look at all the diversity in Maine. Surprise!
We're really connected to the world. Yeah.
Yes, we are. Thank you so much for coming in today,
Mohammed. Thank you, Kate. This is an incredible program.
It's a delight to have Mohammed in here with me today. I'm sorry he'll be graduating and leaving us. Do you have plans for what you're going to do right after graduation?
That is a tough question. I honestly can't say at this moment, but I might stay right here in Portland, or I might try work for the UN, or I might do some on the ground work in a conflict area. You never know. So
well, I hope when you get your credentials and you settle down that you'll be able to return to Maine, to your family, and to bring so much of what you understand about the world to our community.
I would like to. This place is home for me. So
if you have been listening to New Mainers Speak, I'm Kate Manahan, and I want to give special thanks to my guest Mohammed Mohammed for joining me here today. Best of luck to you as you work toward your dreams.
Thank you, Kate.
And thank you for listening. Please join us each Sunday from noon to 12:30 for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit my new website, newmainerspeak.com. Next week, my guest will be Victoria Chacon. And yes, she's the very same Victoria you know as your host from Cruz del Sur, which airs directly after this program. She's a filmmaker who came to Maine from Peru, South America, in 1998, and has been contributing to the local Latin community for over 14 years. So please stay right here on WMPG for Cruz del Sur, up next. Galo muso na de waro, bara muso ta.